This lesson is from the course, The Theology of Heaven in the Book of Hebrews, taught by Dr. Lane Tipton.
We come now to what the author refers to as the point, the kephalion of the teaching of Hebrews. He says this in Hebrews 8:1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Of initial interest to us, to which I'll return at the end of this section, is the sanctifying and regalizing presence of Jesus in heaven. He is a high priest consecrated to the Lord in perfect holiness. He is also a king, enthroned at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The themes of holiness and royalty of the heavenly dwelling find their center and their focus in Jesus, serving as a high priest and enthroned as king. That is the kephalion, the point, that gets to the deepest logic of the vertical eschatology in the book of Hebrews. Jesus as a high priest serves in heaven. Jesus as king sits in heaven. And the high priesthood of Christ and the kingly enthronement of Christ provide the integrative center for the theology of heaven in the book of Hebrews. Now, as we approach this theme, I want to frame the discussion with three texts that were centered by the former historian of the OPC and pastor in Swickley, Pennsylvania, Charlie Dennison. This is from a sermon that Bill Dennison turned me to and which Danny Olinger gave me the manuscripts for. Dennison centers the exposition of the kephalion, the point of Hebrews 8:1, in light of two other texts that line up together with it to get us to the deepest theological concern in the book of Hebrews. The texts are in order, Hebrews 2:5, Hebrews 3:1, and Hebrews 8:1 and 2. And so, get that right here. Hebrews 2:5, Hebrews 3:1, and Hebrews 8:1. I'll read those texts in order. Hebrews 2:5, for it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 8:1 through 2. Now, the point in what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. Now he argues, Dennison does, that these texts reveal the organization of the epistle as a whole when it comes to its theological substance. They are together, conjointly, fundamental to the eschatology of the epistle, to its heavenly subject matter centered on Jesus. Hebrews 2:5, according to Dennison, tells us of the theme, that is, the author is speaking of the world to come. Hebrews 3:1 tells us of the program of the epistle. Jesus is our great apostle and high priest. Hebrews 8:1 gives us the sum or summary the kephalion, the point of the epistle. Jesus is a high priest who currently serves as a minister in the true heavenly sanctuary made without hands. So we have theme 2:5, program 3:1, and summary in 8:1. The first question that he poses is this: what does the summary of Hebrews 8:1-2 have to do with 2:5? Well, the theme is the world to come in 2:5, and the high priesthood of Jesus operates in that world to come, the heavenly world. The world to come finds its center, its main point, its summary, in Jesus Christ as a high priest serving as a minister in the heavenly sanctuary. He sits on a throne made without hands. He serves in a sanctuary made without hands. To put this a little differently, the world to come finds its concrete personal center in Jesus Christ as high priest, seated on the throne in heaven, and serving as a minister in its sanctuary. So the world to come is not a world of abstract forms, Platonic. The world to come is not a world of timeless principles, again, Platonic. The world to come is not an impersonal and abstract domain. Rather, the world to come finds its gravitational center, its main point, in the person of Christ as ascended as king and priest. So the world to come, of which the author speaks in 2:5, cannot be conceived apart from the person, kingship, and priesthood of Jesus Christ. Second question. What does the summary of Hebrews 8:1-2 have to do with Hebrews 3:1? Well, Dennison observes that Jesus Christ is here talked of in the singular as apostle and high priest. And the singular stands over against the plurality of apostles and high priests. The author speaks of Jesus as the apostle and the high priest that we confess in order to designate the uniqueness and dignity of his person and to designate the location of his service. As we saw in our previous module, the person of the Son of God is the preexistent Logos, the eternal Word who proceeds from the Father in eternal generation. When we think of his office as apostle and high priest, we have to think in this way. We have to think of the location from where he is sent as apostle and the location to where he returns as high priest. As the apostle, Jesus Christ is the one who from all eternity was commissioned by the Father in his apostolic office and sent from heaven. This is clear in the Bible. This distills the core of his identity as apostle. Moses was commissioned by God and sent by God to Israel. And Dennison summarizes it in this way. He was sent out by God to the Israelites in Egypt and commissioned with the task of bringing them out of bondage in Egypt and to the mountain of Sinai and even the promised land. That was Moses' apostleship. He goes on, Jesus is the one who, quote, is also commissioned by God, not from Sinai, but from heaven. And he comes as the commissioned one of God, not to lead us back to some earthly mountain, bolted to this world, he comes to lead us into the world to come, end quote. You see, Jesus speaks explicitly of what the author of Hebrews calls his apostleship. Jesus says in the Gospel of John quite directly that he has come from heaven in his incarnation and a state of humiliation, and that he is going to heaven in his ascension and a state of exaltation. Jesus says this in several places. Let me give you some examples. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 5:36-37, the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. John 6:38-39, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, to testify that this is the will of God, that I shall lose none of all that he has given to me. John 12:44-45, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. All of those are instances of Jesus identifying himself as the apostle sent forth from the Father, from heaven to earth in his incarnation and a state of humiliation. Yet Jesus also speaks, here's the circle, of coming from the Father in heaven in order to return to the Father in heaven. He comes from the Father as an apostle. He returns to the Father as a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. John 13:3, Jesus had come from God and was going back to God, descended from heaven that he might ascend to heaven. John 16:28, I came from the Father and have come into the world, but now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. You see, Jesus comes into the world as the one sent by the Father to seek and save the lost. He comes from heaven in order to return to heaven and return those lost back to the Father as found. Dennison says this. He talks about the world to come in terms of that place where he is going in order to prepare that place for his disciples known as the dimension of the many mansions of God, end quote. In other words, the world to come is portrayed as his Father's house. I go now to prepare a place for you. You see, it's this dynamic, this fundamental dynamic, being sent from heaven as an apostle, returning to the Father as high priest, that the author of Hebrews invokes in 3:1. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that Jesus is not an apostle in his return to the Father. It doesn't mean Jesus lacks priestly intention or office in his descent from the Father. But what it does mean is that apostle, in the book of Hebrews, brings into view Jesus being sent, and high priest brings into view Jesus' return. Sent from heaven to return from heaven. The coming from the Father and the returning to the Father in John 6:28 is the closest Johannin parallel. I've come from the Father into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And what is the pastoral comfort of this? Listen, what does it mean to have Jesus as apostle and high priest? Jesus says in John 14, 2 and 3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." See, his return to the Father is priestly. He returns to the Father to prepare a place for the people he represents as a high priest. And he promises, "I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also." Jesus follows by saying to his disciples, "You know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, 6. The chief end of his work as a high priest consists in translating the church out of this world and into heaven, into his Father's house. He brings his people where he has ascended. And he is ascended into heaven. So the relation between 3:1 and 8:1 is this: having been sent from the Father as apostle, and having completed his work as a high priest on earth, he has returned to the Father so that he might return his people to the Father in heaven in union with himself. The climactic eschatological expression of his high priesthood is the point, the kephalion, of Hebrews 8:1. Apostle captures the movement of being sent from God to his people. High priest captures the movement of returning to God on behalf of his people and with his people. Jesus has entered the world to come as a high priest and a minister in the true tabernacle set up by God in heaven, as he ever lives to make intercession seated on the throne at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that turns us now to consider more carefully this kephalion in Hebrews 8:1-6.
Thank you for watching this lesson from Reformed Academy. This is just the beginning. At Reformed Academy, we offer free, in-depth courses that will help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Join thousands of learners from around the world who are deepening their faith and engaging with rich, redemptive historical theology, all at no cost to you. Sign up today at reformedforum.org/academy and start exploring the unfolding message of Christ revealed in all the Scriptures.